to thank the Lord for the privilege of being here with y'all and the saints and those listening in Juarez, Mexico send their greetings to you. Praise the Lord. The thought today is a swarm of honeybees. And I appreciate that song that was sung 55 that says something to the effect that his love causes there to flow a river of honey. And I came with this message, but when I arrived here, I wasn't prepared. It was still in the oven on the first day. The second day, I felt ready to serve it, but I felt it still needed to take a little bit longer in there. And so I thank the Lord that the Lord baked it. May I not ruin it as I serve it. May the Lord help me. I desire your prayers that the Lord give me the words and that I speak it in the way that the Holy Spirit wants it spoken.
Yeah.
Let's go to Judges 14, verse 8. It says, and after a time he returned, this speaking about Samson on his way to go check out little Delilah to take her. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Verse 9. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother and he gave them. And they did eat. And he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. You all know that this is the lion that rose up against him and roared at him. And he, without anything in his hand, he, with the power of the Lord, the Holy Spirit came mightily upon him. And he killed it. And later on, God provided this honey through a swarm of bees inside of this carcass. It tells us, as we all know, in Psalms 119 and verse 03. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Sweeter than honey. I love honey. This is sweeter than honey. But speaking about the mouth of our souls, right? It's one thing to eat sweet things with the mouth attached to your head, but it's another thing to taste with the mouth of your soul. You know, there's a lot of souls walking around that are like those in Ethiopia. Little children starving to death. Their bodies are well fed, but their souls are thin and starving because they never have tasted this honey that is sweet to their soul. The Word of God, I'm thankful for the Word of the Lord that it's satisfying. It's filled that gap, that craving that we had. Like that song said, something vaguely seemed to be wrong or empty there. It satisfied it and filled it. It says in Revelation chapter 9, verse 9 through 11, I'm going to read verse 9 and ask somebody to read verses 10 and 11. It says, and I went unto the angel, we're in Revelation 10, verses 9. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in the mouth sweet as honey. Verses 10 and 11, please. Revelation 10, verses 10 and 11.
Out of the angel's hand,
yes,
and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey.
Praise the Lord.
And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter.
Amen.
And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings.
Amen. I'm not exactly sure what all the reference to this is, but we know that it was a word of the Lord. We have the word of the Lord here, the Bible, and it was bitter in his stomach, but sweet in his mouth. And personally, it's sweet to us, but our experiences with others can be bitter at times. Maybe this was referring to that he was going to speak the word of God, and he was going to be spoken evil against, persecuted, because he was going to have to prophesy before many kings and nations. And that's the difficult thing about coming up here. You say, am I going to be stoned? Am I going to be kicked out? How are they going to receive the message? It can be sometimes a bitter feeling in the stomach. Very nervous time, and that's the way I feel. Now, Lord help me. It's sweet to me, but I feel a bitterness in another way. Amen. I would like to give an example about the analogy about a swarm of honeybees. I recently read an article in Time magazine about the bees, and the Bible tells us that in nature we can learn about God. It tells us that in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, for the invisible things of Him, of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. They're clearly seen how? Being understood by the things that are made. What things were made by God? Everything around us. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. This is talking about people that might have never heard a true servant of the Lord, might have never read the Bible. They're over there in Africa somewhere, in the jungle, an isolated island. They never heard the Word of God, but nature itself should teach them that a God exists. Amen? So we'd like to talk a little bit about nature today, about this swarm of bees. I'd like to mention a few facts about bees. I also read about it in an encyclopedia, and there were so many facts. I'm just going to cover a few. It's really, and then in the Bible, we're going to talk about the word bee, B-E, the plain words. The bumblebee is B-E-E, and the word bee in the Bible is B-E. So I'm going to be talking about nature's bumblebees, all the different species of the bees, but yet we're going to be referring to the B-E. God wants us to be what He wants us to live, how He wants us to act. Some of the facts about bees are that there's over 200,000 species worldwide of bees. 2,000 species. And 6 species are kept commercially. Most of those are that make the honey that we can eat. There's some honey that we can't eat. It's too bitter. They feed on clover and it doesn't taste really good. But we all tasted the good bee. And there's only 6 species that make that bee, that make that honey, excuse me. One honeybee in its short lifetime, which is usually lives about 6 weeks in the winter, one bee. In the summer, when it doesn't work as much, because they're the worker bees, they can live up to 2 months. So this bee is called a worker bee, because they're working all the time, going and getting pollen and water and feeding the hive and feeding the eggs and feeding the queen and protecting the hive. And they just wear themselves out working. That's why they only live 6 weeks. But in the short lifespan, this honeybee will produce only 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey. 1/12. Just a little dot on the spoon. Mm-hmm. One honey in its whole lifetime. That's within probably around 6 weeks. A colony can gather 20 to 25 pounds of nectar in one day. That's from the flowers and from the plants. In a colony, there was some discrepancy years back. They said that there were between 60,000 and 80,000 bees in a colony. They're saying today in Time Magazine that there's between 20 and 30 per colony. So I don't know if it could be different. I don't know, but 80,000 bees in a colony at the most. The queen bee that I'm going to liken to the Holy Spirit. The queen bee does not rule the colony. She doesn't rule it. But she is the force or the power or the strength that holds the colony together. Worker bees become excited or disoriented if she is not in the nest. Isn't that something? If the queen is not there laying her eggs, or if she's killed or something happens, the whole colony becomes disorganized and excited, and they're not at peace at rest. See how important the Holy Spirit is to us?
Yeah.
When man begins to rule, everything goes wacko. Amen? And that's why we personally need to be led of the Holy Spirit. We need our queen. We need the Holy Spirit. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I'm not giving more honor to the Holy Spirit. Those three are one God, but the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. Amen. And He's the one, when Jesus left, said, I would send you the Comforter. That's who we receive when we're sanctified. Praise the Lord. An abiding Comforter that's there continually. The queen bee taking care of the hive, producing in us the fruit that we need. Amen. It says in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now we know that every sect and every denomination is led by a spirit.
Yeah.
They're animated by a spirit. I know the church that we left, they have something there. And it's drawing to you. It touches you. You feel special there. There's power to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, honestly, that there's individuals there that have the Holy Spirit. But the whole denomination is not being led of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And so, I love that. For as many, I mean, it's anybody.
Uh-huh.
That has been justified, saved, and then gone on to the second touch of the blood, the second touch of grace,
yeah.
We call sanctification. Right. And the Holy Spirit comes and abides there continually. As many as have received that Holy Spirit, when we're saved, justified, the Holy Spirit is with us. He's holding on to our hand.
I know.
But then when we're married to Him, He moves in to live with us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Sanctification. I love that. For as many as are led, we're not drugged, we're being pulled, kicking and screaming. We're not being coerced, we're being led. We choose to do it and we choose to surrender to Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Are you being led of the Holy Spirit today? If you are, you're a child of God. Amen? You don't need to worry. Just follow the Holy Spirit. Follow His promptings, His impressions, His dealings, His corrections, and we're going to be okay. Amen? It says in Luke 22, verse 25, remember when the disciples were asking who would be the greatest among them, and He told me it would be the servant among them. That would be the greatest. May the Lord help us to be servants of the church of God, servants to one another, but above all, servants to the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Amen? He said there that the kings of the Gentiles, they exercise lordship over them and authority, but ye shall not be so.
Amen.
But ye shall not be so. That's because we can't do the work of the queen bee. We'll disorganize the whole hive. But if we're being led of the queen bee, we're following her cues. She's not ruling, but we're being led of her.
Yeah.
I'm using an analogy here. The Holy Spirit doesn't have female or you know, it's not male or female. But what I'm saying is that, using it as an analogy, we need to be led of the queen bee. Amen?
Yeah.
Or else we're going to become excited and disoriented and confused. Amen? And so is a colony, God's people, the church of God, the body of Christ. Honeybees add more than $15 billion in value to farming each year. $15 billion. All combined all over the world, they add to it. If they were not to exist, they'd make that much less money. $15 billion less, the farmers would, to produce the crops that we eat. Isn't that something? The article that I read in Time Magazine this last month, I'm not telling you to read Time Magazine. If you're convicted and not read, don't read it. But I don't have a television, so that's how I keep up on what's happening. There's things I sometimes have to cut out and rip out of it, but because I don't agree with it. But I read it to keep informed of what's happening. And the title on last month's Time Magazine was Becoming a World Without Bees, it was. And the idea was that honeybees are becoming extinct. There's more, less and less of them every year. I see an extinction here too, brothers. Very few right now here. Very few of those that are really being led of the Holy Spirit today. Amen? And they studied what causes it, and there's different diseases that have come up. Foul brood, I think, when it's called. All kinds of diseases. Some animals eat them, but they believe, they're not sure, that it's the pesticides and herbicides that they're spraying, and the bees take it and eat it, or take the colony. It's killing them off, and it's destroying them, little by little. I didn't realize that the almond tree must absolutely, the almonds, for them to exist, to come to fruition, they must be pollinated by honeybees. Now, man can go on there and they say they can brush pollen down there, but you have to do each one individually. But naturally speaking, it's the honeybee that pollinates it and that causes fruit to be produced. Think about it. It's only the bees in the Bible, be this and be that, as we surrender to that we're going to be pollinated. The Holy Spirit tells us be this and be that, but the Holy Spirit inspired the Bible, so it's still the Holy Spirit. Whether He speaks it to us in our heart, or we read it, or somebody reads it to us, it's still the Holy Spirit speaking. Especially if it's under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that the person is speaking, and he's reading the Word, it's the Holy Spirit speaking. It's the bee still pollinating. Amen? So, it's the bees in our life that are going to produce the fruit. Amen? If we surrender to that, be this and be that, in the Bible, which we're going to read about in a little bit. So there's other vegetables that require 90% pollination. Other insects pollinate them, but 90% of them would not exist. If there were 100 apples in a tree, it would only have 10 apples, because the other 90 were not pollinated by a bee. The bloom would just fall off. So some of those are apples, 90% that depend on it, asparagus, avocados, broccoli, blueberries, onions, all depend 90%. Others, 80% and less, are cherry, celery, cucumbers, plums, watermelons, tangerines, lemons, cotton, peanuts, and grapes depend only 1% on bees. They depend on something outside to come and pollinate them. We depend on something to pollinate us.
Yeah.
The bees. Surrendering to the bees. Amen. The bees in the Bible, be this and be that. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's the most and foremost important bee, and we've already heard about it over and over in this meeting, and that's in the Epistle of John. Excuse me, not the Epistle of John, the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus said, very familiar words to us all, and Jesus answered, right, Nicodemus, and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Be born again. If we don't have that first bee come and pollinate, there will be no other fruit in our lives. Not to the honor and glory of God. And then he said again to Nicodemus in verse 5, and Jesus answered, verily, 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 I say unto you, unto thee, except a man be born, there's another be born of water, and I feel this refers to the water of the Word of God, be born of water and of the Spirit and the water, the Word of God, which are the two witnesses, amen, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. First of all, we cannot see the kingdom of God if we're not born again, if we're not born again of the Spirit, but if we're not born of the Spirit and the water, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. This is a very important bee. It's like the almond tree. Without this bee, there's going to be no fruit in our lives to the honor and glory of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. The honeycomb mass is six-sided, and it has compartments to it. These cells, they're six-sided, and that's what forms the honeycomb mass. And there's an area in the center where the honeybee lays their eggs. It's called the brood area. Brooding. You've seen hens brooding over... Well, when she sits down on the eggs, that's called brooding too. For 21 days, she's brooding over the eggs. If she were to get off halfway, the eggs won't develop fully. And so we need the brooding of the Holy Spirit upon our lives to produce life. In the beginning, to be born again, but continually we need the brooding producing new life in us. Amen? Producing new things that we need in our lives. I want to be near the center in the brooding area of the hive. Amen? I don't want to be over there in the corner where I'm not going to be fed that royal jelly and the honey. Amen? I want to be in the center in the brooding area. If we're not doing very well, let's examine ourselves. Am I way over in a corner? Am I not spending time reading the Bible? Am I missing services? Am I missing my time of prayer with the Lord? I'm not in the brooding area. I'm going to be missed. I'm not going to be fed. Amen? Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 2 through 5. Philippians 2 through 5. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Here's another be like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We want the mind of Christ to rule daily in our lives. He was meek, he was humble, yet he was powerful, amen? He wasn't wishy-washy. He condemned the scribes and the Pharisees and spoke out plainly and clearly to them, but yet he was meek and humble. Praise the Lord. And the Lord wants us, may the Lord help me, the Lord wants us to be like-minded, to have the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. And how do we do that? We have to come under the Queen Bee. Amen. She's not going to rule us, but we have to be under her care, under the care of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have to be part of the hive. If we're part of another hive out there somewhere else, we're not going to be fed by those worker bees. Amen. And so, be like-minded. Be of one accord. Be of one mind. Amen. One of the facts that I read about bees is that a bee that lives alone can only survive a few days. One bee alone Because they depend on each other working to make the honey that they eat. They depend on strongly on one another. It only lives a few days alone. I've seen some people that are saved, justified, and they don't come to the services, they don't read the Bible, they don't pray, and they die spiritually. Yeah, I've seen them really be born again. I've seen them cry and weep and really experience their life, but they die because they're alone. Amen? But a colony that is united together can live for many years. The queen bee will live up to 5 years. She outlives everybody else, but the colony alone, even though new birth is happening, new bees are being born, it'll last for many years. Amen? When they're all united, working together. We can learn something from nature there. We need one another. We need one another's encouragement. We need God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We need inspiration to read the Bible, to hear others' testimonies and singing and prayers and encouragement and blending and fellowship with one another, the fellowship of the Spirit. Amen? Philippians 4, 2 and 3. Philippians chapter 4, 2 and 3. I'm going to read verse 2, if somebody can read verse 3. I beseech you, Odias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind. There's another B. Be of the same mind in the Lord. Verse 3.
And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me.
Amen.
In the gospel.
Yes.
With Clement also, and with others, my fellow laborers,
yes,
whose names are in the book of life.
Amen. Be of the same mind. Amen. Here it's saying, be of the same mind. Obviously, there was a difficulty between these two brethren, and he was beseeching them, be of the same mind. Can we accept that today? Be of the same mind? Now, can we be of the same mind with the Jehovah's Witnesses?
No.
The Mormons? No. But if there's a brother that is seeking to be right with the Lord, if there's two of us, well, then what we need to do is go back to the Bible. The bees. The bees. Because it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. We're not denying the Holy Spirit if we go back to the Bible. We believe in Holy Spirit leadership. But this is Holy Spirit leadership too. If it's read under the unction of the Holy Spirit and taught under the unction of the Holy Spirit, the bees are right here. They're already in there for us. The bees are waiting to pollinate us so that we can produce fruit to the honor and glory of the Lord. Amen? Yes, He doesn't want us to be fruitless. Be like-minded. How do we do it? It's going to take the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Do we sometimes need to say that or do that? Whatever it might be, you might know what it is. Maybe we can lay it aside. If it's not bringing fellowship, if it's not bringing unity, let's lay it aside. Let's not lay aside true doctrine, though. We all need to come to the true doctrine. We need to lay aside false doctrine, false teaching. But we all need to come to the true doctrine, the bees. We're going to be judged by these bees right here. Amen? I beseech thee, Odias and Syntyche, that ye be of the same mind, and also that they help these women. I don't know what was happening, but why would you have to tell them to help these women? Maybe they were rejecting them. They're thinking, well, I don't believe in women preachers. I don't know. Maybe they're just saying, I don't believe that she's called. I don't know. But he says, we need to help. You know, sometimes there's ministries that need help, and there's very few people that are willing to help. I don't know if they were preaching what they were doing, but they needed help, and he was exhorting them to help them. Sometimes we see people need help. What do? May the Lord help us to be of that mind to want to help. Maybe we can't help with the whole project. We can help 5 minutes. Maybe we can help a day. You know what the Holy Spirit is telling you. I don't know about your situation. Praise the Lord. Let's go to John 17. Just this cherished prayer of Jesus. I love it. John 17, verses 21, 22, and 23. That they all may be one. There's another be. Be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. 22. And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. 23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. The Holy Spirit is the one that makes us one, brothers and sisters. If there's someone that is not fully yielding to the Holy Spirit, there's going to be disunity and discord.
Yeah.
So that's the key. The bottom line. Let's submit to the Holy Spirit. If we're all being led of the Holy Spirit, if we're all being fed of the Queen Bee, we're going to be working together. They don't fight in the hive. They work together. Amen? In unity. May the Lord help us.
Yeah.
This prayer of Jesus should have power in our life personally. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
Oh, may the Lord help us.
Yeah.
May the Lord help us to surrender, submit to the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit so that we can truly be one in the sense that the Lord meant it to be. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Another B, John 20. The Gospel according to John. John 20. I love this when the Marys went to the sepulchre to anoint the body of Jesus. It was touched upon last night. My thought here is be early. Be early. We heard that somebody said from over here that Abraham rose up early. That was in Genesis 22:3. It wasn't to go eat a feast. It was to go sacrifice his son. He rose up early to do something that was going to cost him greatly. But he did it believing that if he killed him, that God would raise him up again. That's what I understand that it says in Hebrews. He believed that God could raise him up. He could kill him and God can raise him up again. Amen? So he was willing to do it. Do you know if we lay down our life, that God can raise it up again? We don't have to worry about losing anything here. Let's give it all. He's going to raise it up in glory on that day. Amen? Praise the Lord. John 20:1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early. She didn't come 15 minutes late. She didn't come an hour late. She came early. Doesn't tell us, there was no time set, but she came very early. She was dying to be there. She couldn't wait to go look at the sepulchre. She couldn't wait to bring these spices to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Be early. That's another B. Be early. Let's not be late. The Holy Spirit tells us to do something. Let's not wait till a week later. It might be too late. There was a young man that I found committed suicide in the church that we left. A few months before, the Lord had laid in my heart to write to him or call him and talk to him. After he committed suicide, I felt smitten. Because I wonder, what could I have said something that might have changed what he was going to do? I don't know. And I know the Lord is forgiving, I know that. But I felt like I came short in that. Be early. If you feel prompted in the Holy Spirit, don't wait too long. Do it right now. It could be too late. Be early. Be early. When it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. She came early. When I first became a part of the denomination that we left, I used to sleep in late, get up late. I had a habit of being late all the time. And I always come to the meeting 50 minutes late, 20 minutes late, 30 minutes late. And the Lord started speaking to me on that matter. He started telling me, you set your alarm clock early. You iron your clothes the day before. You have your hymns ready to choose, your songs. Your testimony ready and prepared. So when that time comes, you'll be able to do it.
Yeah.
Instead of rushing there and all these people rushing in and making a noise and disrupting the meeting. I'm not condemning anybody. It's happened to me too. But if you do set the goal to be early,
yeah,
you're not going to be 40 minutes late. You might be right on time or 5 minutes late. But if you set the goal to be early, you might even be 50 minutes early.
Yeah.
And have time to settle down and quiet down and meditate and get ready to receive what the Lord has for us. Instead of rushing in the kids and confusion. Be early. Amen. Praise the Lord. Be early. A bee that can help us. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:23 that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. One thing that will help the service to be less confusion, let's be early. Amen? Be early. Be ready. Be prepared. It also says in verse 40 of 1 Corinthians 14, let all things be done decently and in order. If everybody's rushing in late and they're doing what has to be done before late, it's going to be disorganized and out of order. We need our priorities set right. May the Lord help us. Be early. And Mary Magdalene cometh early when it was yet dark. She had her priorities straight. Amen. She didn't say, oh, I need to get my beauty sleep. No, she got up early. She didn't care about herself. She went to the sepulchre where there were guards that could have beat her up or done something to her. It was dark. She was a woman. How was she going to roll away the stone? She had faith. She knew the Lord would take care of all the problem. Amen. Be passionate. Be passionate. It tells us there in chapter 20 of John, verse 4, so they ran together. This was Peter and John. After they heard the good news that Jesus had risen, they said, oh, I'll check it out next week. They dropped. They could have been doing some important things. They said, we need to go see right now. Our Lord is risen. We want to be right there. What's happened? Did somebody take the body away? What's going on? Is He really risen? So they both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, the disciple that Jesus loved. Jesus loved him, and he obviously loved Jesus more than Peter, I would think. Unless he just had more strength, I don't know. But he outran him. He outran him. Woo! He outran him. We're in John 20 and verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. Well, let's read that, verse 4. So they both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. John came first. Be early. Amen. Be passionate. Verse 12. John 20, verse 12. Verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. She wasn't being proud. She was willing to stoop down, humble herself, and look in. 12. And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, and two angels in white sitting, and one at the head, and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus was laid. Verse 13. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto him, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing that it was the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, if you've taken him away, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She knew it was him. Do we feel sometimes that we're missing the presence of Jesus in our life? Do we have the passion to go look for Him again? Do we have the passion to invite Him back again? My wife and I had the experience of being in a church that we thought was a true church. I was in it from age 11 up to, in my late 30s. That was in 2002 when we left that denomination. And for 1.5 years, we were like, Mary, they have taken away the body of my Lord. And what have they done with it? What is the body of the church? Really, I was weeping. We're to the point thinking, is it like in the days of Noah, are there only 8 left? Is it like in the days of Lot, are there only 8 left? I mean, 3 left? But remember what that prophet was told. There are 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. Was it 7,000?
Yeah.
He didn't know. He thought he was the only one left. And that's the way we felt. So we were searching and crying and weeping, passionately looking. Oh, may the Lord help us to pray that the Lord will put this feeling in the hearts of those that are in denominations today. Yeah. Those that are lost, that they will be like Mary looking, and He's going to appear and say, Mary, to them. I remember the day when the Lord said, Tony, to me, coming from the body of Christ. And I recognized that voice through the testimony and the songs and the prayers of the saints. I knew that was the voice of my Jesus speaking to them. Amen. Praise the Lord. She knew that was the Jesus that she loved, and she didn't want to be far away from Him. I had a relationship with Jesus, although I was not with the saints. But I wanted to be with the body, the rest of the body. She wanted to be with the body of Jesus. What have you done with Him? Where have you taken Him away? She was weeping and crying. Be passionate. Be passionate to be with the body of Christ. Have passion to want to meet with them. Call them, write them, visit them. But above all, have passion for the head of the body, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Seek Him out in prayer and reading the Word of God, spending time with Him. Oh, may the Lord inspire this be passionate. We read about Joseph of Arimathea in Mark 15:43. It says that he came craving the body of Jesus. He wanted, after he was taken off the cross, before he was laid in the tomb, he came craving. And remember, he's the one that put him in the tomb, cleaned him up and put him in the tomb. He came craving the body of Jesus. Be passionate. He was craving it. There are a lot of people today that are craving many things. They're craving the things of the world. Oh, but may the Lord place within us a craving for the things that are eternal. Amen. May we crave the things that are of the Lord. He wasn't craving money or fame, or he was craving the body of Jesus. He craved it. Say that when women are expecting, they crave certain things and they have to go get it right that moment. May we have that craving that much for the things of the Lord that we won't put off reading the Bible for 2 months. Amen. Put off praying for 3 days. May we be that much craving the body of Jesus. Be passionate. May we crave it. There was a brother there in Oklahoma. I won't say his name, but he told us an example about when they opened up Krispy Kreme there in Oklahoma. And he said that it was advertised and the day of its grand opening was placed. And he said that on that day, the day before Krispy Kreme opened, there were people camping out in line waiting to eat Krispy Kreme. And the next day there was another long line. They were camping the day before waiting to eat a Krispy, to be the first ones to eat a Krispy Kreme donut. They're that much craving something for their stomach. Oh, may the Lord help us to crave, to that much crave the things of the Lord. May we crave it, Lord, saints. May we crave it. May the Lord help us. May we crave that much, Lord. Be passionate. Luke, amen. Luke 21 and verse 8. And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Take heed that ye be not deceived. There's another B. Be not deceived. That's a pretty strong B. And we are told to not go after these people. Another fact about the bees that I read about is that each hive has its own odor, smell. And the guards, there's bees that stand at the opening of the hive, of the honeybee hive, and they guard it. Because other bees of other species try to come in, or other insects, and when it tries to come in, if it doesn't smell like the rest of the bees, they sting it and kill it at the entrance. Do we have that bee in our life? Are we stinging to death all false doctrine and rejecting it? Or are we letting it come in? Oh, come in, sit a while. You can eat some of the honey too. You know what they do? They sometimes kill the rest of the bees and sometimes take over the hive. May the Lord help us. There was, I forget how it's called, the illness. It's American fowl brood. It's like a virus that gets into the bees. And it turns them into a lifeless gummy mess, it says. A lifeless gummy mess. Lifeless? We don't want to be lifeless. We don't want to be gummy, wishy-washy. And we don't want to be a mess. Amen. We're supposed to be declaring the perfection of the Lord, brothers and sisters. His perfect holiness, amen? And Lord, help us. You know, I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit in my heart, because when we left the church that we were under, we were deceived. There was a veil over our eyes. There was a lot of true doctrine, but we weren't ready to accept it yet, or maybe the Lord was using us to help him. I don't know why he kept us there long. Maybe it was my own stubbornness that I was trying to prove that I was right, and I had to humble myself some more. I don't know what it was. The Lord knows. But I remember when the Lord opened my smelling senses, and I smelled a different odor. One of the ministers got up at a camp meeting, but they call them conventions, and he said from the platform, we, this body of people that they call the truth, they're also called the saints. The ministers are called the workers, by the way. And so, this minister said, we are not like other denominations or churches that believe they're saved by the blood of Jesus. We believe we're saved by the life. Ooh, that smell stunk to me. Woo! I said, what are you trying to say that the blood of Jesus does not save? Well, then you're saying the life saves you, that if we follow your example, we're going to be saved? Sure, if we are saved, we will change things. And we will be conformed to the Word of God. But if we think we're going to save ourselves, I was listening with a sister earlier, and she said that our own righteousness is like filthy rags. If we think that our own righteousness is going to save us, we're deeply, gravely mistaken. When it's all said and done, it's going to be the blood of Jesus. Did it touch my heart? Did it cover my heart or not? When it's all said and done. But when that blood touches my heart, it purifies it, and every action changes. Amen. And thank the Lord for that. But we don't want to get it backwards. That smell was awful. That was the first thing that I rejected, that smell. And we decided to not go back again. We went back to visit, to clarify. That's what he meant. Others didn't even hear it. If I were to say it, what would y'all do? I hope some bells and alarms will go off. I hope that you go, that doesn't smell like the rest of the bees of the hive. Amen? So what they do, if it doesn't smell like the hive, they reject it. May the Lord help us.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful when I met some of the first saints here. Some of them are sitting here. I smelled the spirit of humility. One of them is sitting right here. I'm not going to say his name. I smelled the spirit of humility, and I said, those are the real saints there. And then later on, I met some at Guthrie and at Monarch. I smelled that spirit. It's part of the hive. Praise the Lord. Amen. They're under the Queen. Under the Holy Spirit. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I want to say one more thing about not being deceived. Another thing, fact about the bees. There are some bees that will come in, since there's all these different species, and we're talking about the honeybee. Well, it's not the honeybee. It's the bumblebee. In her hive, another bee will come in, and what she'll do is she'll kill the queen, and the queen is the one that lays the eggs and keeps the colony supplied with new life. She'll kill the queen bee that's of that hive, and she'll lay eggs. Mm-hmm. And the workers that are part of the hive will take care of them. There's a spiritual lesson in that too. We don't want to be encouraging the false doctrine and taking care of it and putting up with it. Mm-mm. We're long-bearing, forbearing, patient, but we don't want to be feeding it and encouraging it. We, as the workers of the Lord, may the Lord help us. May we take our stand and let them know our stand, amen, without offending. But if we have to be like Jesus and say, "Oh, ye hypocrites, oh, ye whited sepulchres," well, then so be it. Amen? Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Be ye thankful." It says in Thessalonians over and over in other places, be thankful.
Yeah.
Be ye thankful. Being thankful is very important to the Lord.
Yeah.
You remember, we already heard that story here about the 10 lepers and only the one that, I think it was 10 lepers, and only one that came back and praised the Lord and glorified Him. He was the one that was made whole, not just healed, but made whole. You know, being thankful or acknowledging what others and what the Lord has done for us will make us whole. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be ungrateful.
No.
And Daniel said, "I thank Him and I praise Him." Now I thank Him and I praise Him. The church that we left, they only thanked the Lord, but they never praised the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thanking is one thing. Praising is another. They're coupled together. They go together. I can only glorify God.
Amen.
Amen. He's the only one that deserves the real praise. I can thank anybody. I can thank my brothers and sisters, but we need to thank Him and praise Him. Adore Him, worship Him, give Him honor, glory.
Amen.
Be thankful, and let's be in the spirit of praise. Amen. May the Lord help us. There was one brother that was one trying to say there's nothing more beautiful than a thankful woman. He got mixed up and he said, "There's nothing more thankful than a beautiful woman." Well, I'm sure that beautiful women are thankful too, amen. But there's nothing more beautiful than a thankful woman and a man and a child, amen. Yeah, we love. Who likes to be around a grumpy, complaining, everything's wrong type of person? Oh, may the Lord help us to be thankful. Be ye thankful. Amen. Hebrews 13, verse 1 and 2. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. That covers the whole spectrum of us reaching out to the world, helping the poor, helping our neighbor. The Lord opens doors that way. If you go and help the neighbor, that might open the door for you to be able to express what you believe. It might be the door that opens to their salvation. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. I'll tell one incident real quick. We were coming out of a Whataburger like 8 years ago, my wife, maybe longer than years ago. And there's a man that we'd seen often outside, a bum, long hair. It was all ratted, stuck together, like in braids. It wasn't braids, it was just ratted, long like that. He was smelly and dirty, and he was sitting there, and he looked like he wasn't all there. And as we're walking in, we were in a kind of rush, and I had other things on mine. And he said, "Can you help me? I'm hungry." And I was waiting for the Lord to see what the Lord was going to tell me, but I walked ahead and went in. And the Lord told me, "You go back out there, and you tell him that you're going to buy him a hamburger and buy it and give it to him." So I did. I told him, "We're going to buy it before we eat it and go and give it to him first." And we did. I wasn't expecting what happened. He was so thankful when I gave it to him, and he started eating it. He wasn't playing. He really was hungry. And I felt moved to ask him if he knew the Lord and to tell him a little bit about our Lord Jesus Christ, to tell him a little, share the gospel with him. And he opened up and he said that he had been a Mormon. He had been through war and he had a nervous breakdown or something. And I said, "Well, would you..." him. He said, "Yes." I'm going, "Excuse me, you said what?" "Yes." He said, "Yes." So I said, "Well, okay, let's pray right now." And so I prayed for him. And I thought, well, I'm not sure if he's really sincere, if he really understands, if he's not all there. You know what made me understand that he was there? I had my hands in here, and as I was praying, I felt something hot falling on my hands. He was crying. Hot tears falling down, streaming down his face. I really feel that the Lord touched him. Later on, some months later, we're passing by a donut place, and I saw a man up there, and I told my wife, "That looks like the man that we saw before, that we prayed for." And my wife said, "No, that's not him. He was more washed, combed. He seemed to be in his right mind." And I went up to him, and I asked him if he knew us. He didn't remember us, but it was him. And you know what he was doing? He was reading the Bible. He was reading Luke about the birth of Jesus. And he told me a little bit about it. I said, "Well, Lord, it doesn't matter to me that he doesn't remember me." "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Let's not be forgetful to entertain strangers. May the Lord help us to reach out to others. Yes. The Holy Spirit will show you how to do it. I've sometimes wondered, Lord, is that an angel in disguise? When we're in Juarez, Mexico, we deal with dirty, filthy people that are on the streets and they smell horrible. And when you pray for them, I don't do it anymore, but I would have to carve out a prayer like this because I couldn't stand it. It'd make me sick. But not anymore. But I sometimes said, "Lord, if that's one of your angels, I want to feed it and give it the shampoo and the soap and the toothbrush and whatever, the clothing. You could be testing me. That could be Jesus. That could be an angel unawares." Amen. May the Lord help us. Be a very important be. It's not just preaching the word, it's also doing things for others that will touch them. We could win them over if we did that more, I believe. May the Lord help us. I want to be thankful and thank you all for your welcome here and all you've done to make us and to be us, to make us welcome and to entertain us. I'm not preaching to y'all, because you have done it to me. May I be able to do it to you too. May the Lord bless each one that has been so kind and gentle and so hospitable to us here. Praise the Lord. Then it says in Hebrews 13, verse 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. our brother here already spoke about this, and he brought out that being content not just means being content with natural things, but being content in your spirit and your heart and your soul with the situation that you're in. May the Lord help us to be content. Maybe some of you all have heard this story. Simple story. But in the wild jungles of Africa and in other countries, they've tried to catch monkeys. Maybe because of overpopulation, sometimes they're diseased, I don't know. They've tried to catch them. And they've made these little cages with a banana or an apple inside. And they've made the holes just big enough for the monkey to stick his hand inside. And the monkey will stick his hand inside and grab it. But because once you make a fist, it's too big to pull out, and they'll catch him. Amen. When they come to catch him, he doesn't want to let go of the banana or the apple. You know, it's a simple story. But the devil wants to do that to us today. Do you feel something that you think you need, or that you want to wear or put on or watch or partake of spiritually? Do you have a hold of it? That could be the place that the devil has you to get you. May the Lord help us. Be content. Let's be content in the Lord and the family of the Lord. Let's be content with the things of the Lord. May the Lord help us to be content. James chapter 1, verse 22. Another B here. James 1, 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. Amen. Speaks in verse 25 about being a continuing therein, doer of the work. Amen. May we be a doer of the work. Be doers of the word. It's so easy to say, well, that's what the saints used to do way back then. That's what those holiness people do. I don't want to be like them. But if it's in the word, and we're not doing it, and we're covering up and being rebellious because we think it's just a form, or we think it's just a tradition of the saints, but it isn't the word of God, we're going to be judged. We're going to be judged. Be doers. May the Lord help us. This is a very important be. It's not just a matter of hearing and sitting in the services. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. Lord help me. You know that. You know that already. We need to be stirred up and be reminded. Let's be doers of the word of God. We might be doing this over here, but there might be some things that we're not doing that we ought to be doing. Amen. May the Lord help us to know what those things are. Luke 6, 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. 23. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Talking about how we are to react when we are persecuted. It also says in 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Let him not be ashamed. Part of the reason of being ashamed is because we're afraid of what others are going to do and say. We're afraid of the repercussions. I was when I was younger. Sometimes even as an adult, you can have that fear want to come and overpower us. Amen. If any man suffers a Christian, let him not be. Here's a be that we don't want in life. Be ashamed. We don't want to be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're reading in Luke that when they persecute us and separate us, speak evil of us, to leap for joy. How do you leap for joy? Woo! Like this, amen? So people say, oh, that's Pentecostalism. Well, then Jesus was Pentecostal then, because he said, leap for joy, amen, praise the Lord. And he told us to do it. Why? Because he wants us to focus on the joy of serving the Lord, not on what's just happening to us. He wants to shake us out of it. Woo! Praise the Lord, amen. Sometimes we need to shake out of it and
Lift our hand and praise the Lord. Start singing some songs. Leap for joy. Help us. When we start praising, the devil leaves.
That's right.
Ooh, he hates it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll tell a story here about a woman that was not ashamed. And I'm going to tell about one that was ashamed. A bee that's an enemy. It wants to kill the workers in the hive. It wants to kill the other bees. Amen. Let's not let her come in. Be ashamed. We need to sting her at the entrance. Amen. Kill her. Don't let her come into the hive. Be not ashamed of the gospel. There was a woman in the church that we left. By the way, the church that we left, they believed in holiness, being separate from the world, and they believed in a standard of dress. Not as high as the saints that are truly doing what the Bible says, but it was a standard, and it's different than the world. Anyway, this woman, she left that faith and went out into the world as a young girl. She was brought up by the standards of the Bible, the bees, the real bees that are in the Bible, amen? The honey bees. They'll produce the honey in her life if we do it. Amen? She was raised by that, but she went off into the world. She left the colony. Died because she left the colony. She was alone. Spiritually died. Years later, she came to the calm conventions, the camp meeting, and the message was spoken. She was touched, and she surrendered her heart to the Lord again. Well, when she left that convention or that camp meeting, she went back home to her office, and she was a receptionist in the front desk, and Lord help me. Anyway, when she got up that morning, this is what she used to do. She would put on her makeup, her earrings, her necklaces, her rings, and her tight pants. And she had short hair. But she had it about up to here. Well, that morning, she pinned back that short hair. Amen. She wanted to be modest. Amen. With her hair. She didn't want to be showy anymore. She decided she was not going to cut it anymore. She did not put any makeup nor any of the jewelry. And she took out the one or two only skirts she had and she put one of them on and went to the office. Here's a true story. And when she got to the office and sat there, everybody was looking at her kind of strange. You could imagine why. She's a receptionist. She represents the company and she's sitting in the front desk. And they thought, oh, did you get up late today? She goes, no, I got up early. I'm happy. Amen. Okay, and so they were all murmuring. She's talking. Finally, the boss came and said, so-and-so, you know, you represent our company, and I don't know what's happening, but you need to, you know, go back home and fix yourself up again. She goes, no. She goes, when you hired me, did you hire me because of the makeup I wear? No. Did you hire me because I cut and perm my hair and dye it? No. Did you hire me because I paint my nails or wear jewelry? No. He goes, then why did you hire me? Well, because you have the efficiency, you have the capability of running this office. Okay? Have I lost that? Well, no. Okay then, let's get back to business, she said. And so they kept on telling her things. And she said, come on world, persecute me, she said. Because she knew that as more we get persecuted, people speak evil of us, greater was going to be her reward in heaven. I just love her spunk. And she fulfilled that. Later on I saw her hair grew. She quit dyeing it. She started wearing it back, pinned back. A modest way of combing your hair. The hair is for covering the head. Amen. Read 1 Corinthians 11. It says, any woman praying or prophesying with her head uncovered dishonors her head. And the Bible says, be ye doers of the word. Amen. We can't just rip that out and throw away and say, let's just put it in a dark corner. It doesn't exist anymore. It's there. It says, it is a glory for a woman to let her hair grow. It says in the Spanish version. In English, it says it's a glory for a woman to have long hair. Now, no condemnation. I know there's some women that the hair only grows up to here, some only up to there. But the idea there is to let it grow. Let it grow as long as it'll grow. Don't touch it. That's the Greek idea. You can study the Nazarites in the Bible. They wouldn't cut the hair. Samson was that way. What happened to Samson when he cut off his hair? He lost his power. Sometimes I wonder, is the glory not shining as much because we're cutting off a symbol that attaches us to prayer? Amen? It says that any woman praying or prophesying, the hair on the woman is connected to your prayer and prophesying. Read it. Study it. And don't start, well, it was just for the Corinthians. It doesn't say for the Corinthians. says, I praise you, brethren, for keeping the ordinances that I handed down to you. And that is connected to the ordinances, the long hair. And using it as a covering on the head. Anyway, what I wanted to say with that is that later on I saw her and I didn't recognize her. As years went by, she'd have to introduce herself to me every time. She looked like she looked so beautiful, like a princess, the way she was dressed, the way she wore her hair. The natural color returned to her. Nobody's going to tell me that you look more beautiful the way the world wants you. If you have the Spirit of God, you tend to look at women with the Spirit of God. And you tend to call those women that are natural beautiful than those that are worldly. Yeah, that's the way it is. Amen. I've never seen a guy yet say, "Woo, get a load of those earrings." No, they're looking at other parts that the Lord has given those women. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
A spiritual guy will go, "Woo, look at that spiritual woman." Amen. Yes, amen. Well, another woman that was ashamed. This was a young woman that was ashamed of her, Lord help me, of her mother. Her mother had a burn on her face. Actually, almost all the face, but this side was all burning. All of her growing up years, she was ashamed of her mother. And as she grew up older, the mother would take her to school and she'd ask her to drop her off a block away. And she'd make excuses. And one day the mother found out that that's the way she felt. And she decided to sit her daughter down and explain to her why she had the burnt face. She had never told her. And she said, "My daughter, I want to tell you why my face is like this." She goes, "Mom, you never have wanted to talk about it." I said, "No, I haven't, but I am going to now. I haven't wanted to hurt you or make you feel guilty," she said. And she said, "When you were a baby, you were in the upstairs room, and for some reason, I don't remember all the details, it caught on fire. And I couldn't get in there without passing through the fire. I ran through the fire, and as I ran through, a curtain that was in fire fell on my face. I was holding you and protecting you, running down the stairs with you. Oh, my face was burning. So I had this face burned because of you, because I love you. This is a sign of my love for you," she said. Mm-hmm. And from then on, the shame that daughter had for her mother was lifted off.
Yeah.
It went away. Mm-hmm. You know, are we ashamed of the scars of Jesus? Mm-hmm. It tells in Revelation that he saw him as a lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the world, or from the foundation of the world. There might be things about the gospel that we might be ashamed of. They're like scars to us. But if we can look at them, that's our salvation.
Amen.
Let's not be ashamed of it. It's our salvation. What Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, bleeding and dying, that's our salvation. But so is everything else that is spoken through the Holy Spirit. It all comes. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. As we read the Word of God, this is Jesus. Some people say, "Do you preach Jesus?" I say, "I sure do. I preach the Word of God. This is Jesus. He's the Word of God." Amen? It's the written Word of God. It's still Jesus. All of it is Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. The Word of God took flesh and was manifest among us in the flesh. Amen? The Logos. Amen? Okay. Be not ashamed. Also, 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Be clothed with humility. I know when I'm corrected, well, not so much anymore, but maybe if I don't see a reason to be corrected, it could be easy to get upset and want to be proud about it. Amen? Lord, help us to be humble. The national weather, you know, those report the weather, they say that when there's a lightning storm, for you to kneel down on your knees, get down in a humble position, bend over with your head bent over your knees, and then put your hands on your knee. That's why if you're standing up in the weather, in a thunderstorm, you don't become as a lightning conductor, and you're killed. So in order to not be struck down by lightning, you have to do that. Humble yourself down. We need to do that spiritually. Humble ourselves down in prayer. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. I've heard that, I don't know if this is true or not, that when bears are attacking and they want to kill you, and they're going right at you, the best thing to do is to go limp and pretend you're dead. It tells us, and I think James, humble yourself under the almighty hand of God. If we resist and fight, it's going to mean eternal death. It's called hell. That's the end result. That bear will squeeze the life out of them and tear them apart. But if you pretend you're dead, what he does is he'll bury you and leave you there and come back for you later. But while he's finally coming back, you get up and you leave. So humble yourself under the almighty hand of God. Amen? Yes? Amen? The almighty God, we need to submit to him. Let's not be proud and say, I don't like what I'm hearing. No. Let us be doers of the word of God. Amen? May the Lord help us. I'm going to have to skip down here. Be holy. We heard about it. 1 Peter. We're almost done. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. We've already heard about this. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. We heard that God is holy. So holy is God. I like that thought. So if God is dwelling in us, he's going to perform his holiness in us. Amen. It's his. And I don't need to tell you that. You know that. But there are some aspects of holiness that the Lord wants to work out in our lives. It also tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We need to be careful about our relations with others because it can affect us. Amen. Especially to the young people. If anybody else hears this message that is a young person, be careful. Be careful who you let your heart go out to. Samson and Delilah, it did not work out. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Verse 17. Wherefore come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Be ye separate, be not unequally yoked. Be ye separate. This is a doctrine of the Bible. Be ye separate. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Another be. Amen. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then it tells us in Revelation 18 to come out of Babylon. Amen. It's become a habitation of devils, of every foul spirit, a cage of every unclean, hateful bird. And it says in verse 4, Revelation 18:4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not the plagues. That ye receive not her plagues. I don't want any of those plagues. Be separate. When I was growing up as a teenager, my dad was a part of the mafia. He sold drugs. He beat on my mother. I was raised into that kind of atmosphere. I cried out to God at age 8. I had a spiritual awakening at age 11. The 90-year-old black man across the street gave me his Bible. He was my first example. I started reading it. I started reading about the bees, and these bees started affecting my life. That's why I'm here today. But I want to say that in going to the meeting of that home, the 90-year-old black man, they had the services in the home, in their houses. One day I was going to the service. It would have been my second service, my third service. And my dad was age 14, and my dad offered me beer. He was outside with about 18 guys having a barbecue and drinking with the loud, boisterous Hispanic music. And he offered me a beer, but I had already read the bees. It says, a drunkard shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You see how the word of God affects us if we obey it and be holy? He offered me a beer. I could have easily caved in because it would have been embarrassing in front of all those buddies, but I said, no, Dad, I'm not that kind of a man. He says, what, aren't you a man? In front of all his buddies, I said, no, I'm not that kind of man. If you offer me another drink, I'll drink it, but not a beer. No alcohol. And you know, he never bothered me again. When I was growing up, I had three girls in high school offer me to invite me to go to the prom with them. My parents were not holy. But what helped me to not go? I didn't go. Be holy. Be separate. I knew what could happen at those parties, at that prom. Amen? I know there's no young people here to hear this message, but may the Lord help. And maybe you parents or grandparents can, that's where the young girl gets pregnant sometimes, that night. She loses her virginity. That's where she tastes drugs for the first time. That's where some of them die. Be holy, be separate. There's a reason for it. Oh, all of these bees, there were a lot more. There's a swarm of bees. There's honey in the hive, brothers and sisters. I've tasted of it, and you have too. The bees are the ones that produce it. The Lord help us.